Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We're talking with Etta West from Vaccine Choice Canada. And Etta, before the break, you were talking about the measles outbreak. I want to ask you about the flu vaccine. I wanted to ask you about the benefits of the vaccines. And I also want to ask you, in the next 10 minutes or so, if you could talk about some of the risks of vaccines and what you're hearing from people that have been vaccinated and had a response that wasn't quite anticipated.
Well, the flu vaccine is certainly an important one to talk about, and we get many reports from people who have been injured by that vaccine. And it can be pretty horrific injury involving full-body paralysis, as in Guillain-Barré syndrome, and many other syndromes that can result from the influenza vaccine. One of the things that the majority of the public doesn't understand about the flu and should be clarified. This is really, really basic information that the public should be informed about by health officials, but health officials never discuss it. And that is that only a small percentage of all flu-like illnesses are actually influenza. And there are many viruses that cause identical symptoms. So influenza actually, as a viral illness, on average comprises only 10 to 12% of all the other flus that people call influenza or flu in any given season. And it's very, very confusing. And public health officials, they kind of ride on the coattails of that. They benefit from the public remaining in the dark about the definition between true influenza and the flu, okay? So many people have the flu, but it can be caused by a whole range of pathogens and viruses. And the Government of Canada, in their Flu Watch program, they have a statistical analysis that they do ongoing throughout flu season. So anybody, you can plug into the Flu Watch program online, and you can find out month to month throughout the influenza season how many cases of true influenza occur and how many cases of flu-like illnesses occur. We're always quoting from government stats when we're talking about influenza. And it's very disconcerting that health officials don't tell the public the truth, that only a small percentage of cases are actually influenza, and that when you get the shot, the vaccine, it only addresses influenza, okay? It doesn't prevent or cause you to, get a lesser degree of any of those other viruses that you might pick up. So that's a really important thing for people to understand.
And before the vaccine was even rolled out, I think that officials were saying that this was last year's vaccine and it wasn't going to treat the range of flu viruses that were coming out this year. What do you make of that?
Well, it's always guesswork, you see, and the influenza viruses are continually mutating. I mean, this is an ongoing mutation that goes on. So, it's a hit and miss game. I mean, some years they're a little bit more accurate than others, but that doesn't mean that in years that they're more accurate and that the vaccine contains the right mix of viruses to address the mix that's predominantly going around. That doesn't mean getting a flu shot is going to protect you from any of it. As a matter of fact, Canadian studies that came out a few years ago after the 2009-2010 pandemic, so-called pandemic, the H1N1, showed that people who had gotten the flu shot the year before were at much higher risk for getting a severe case of the pandemic flu the following year. So in other words, the flu vaccine was doing something to the immune system to weaken it and to make those people who'd previously been vaccinated more vulnerable to that pandemic strain. And for me, I find that pretty scary. You know, the implication is, and we know from other research that involves a thing called original antigenic sin, is that when you get a flu shot, you're programming your immune system to only be alert to that particular strain of influenza that's in the vaccine that you've gotten, and it dampens down your ability to respond effectively to a wider range of pathogens. So basically, you're programming your immune system to be less responsive, and they know that. So yet it doesn't matter. It's a huge machine that just goes on and on and on. And the truth of it very rarely gets out to the public. You've got to spend a lot of time reading.
And one of the things that I've noticed is that, you know, people that don't get vaccines, or, you know, anytime there's an outbreak, they blame it on the people that have not been vaccinated. The people that choose not to vaccinate their children, or for whatever reason, you know, maybe based on some of the risks, are really facing the brunt of the full publicity campaign of health, the government health authorities. Why is this, and how do we change that perception?
Yeah, again, it's a very difficult one, because indeed, people who choose not to vaccinate are horribly vilified in the press, in the media. And there's just a concerted, ugly, nasty campaign that goes on and on. Yet we're not hearing the other side, which is that you can be fully vaccinated and still get the disease, which is what I was pointing out before we went on the break about the measles cases in Quebec. Where, you know, more 51% of the fully vaccinated teenagers got the measles. So, you know, vaccines, the information about vaccines not being as effective and as safe as they claim them to be is suppressed, while people who choose not to vaccinate and choose alternative health modalities to stay healthy are vilified. So it's a horribly polarized situation. And what makes it even more polarized is that there's a strict media blackout, and I heard this directly from a very mainstream reporter in Canada who reports and writes articles for one of the big mainstream national newspapers, is that there's a strict media blackout to publish and report anything about vaccine skepticism. Mm. So if you have any information to offer that would show, you know, look, there are these problems with vaccines, and they're not as effective and safe as public health says they are, you'll never get that information published in mainstream.
Etta, you were part of the Vaccine Risk Awareness Network. You know, when people would report vaccine, you know, abnormalities or issues to you, what were you hearing from people? What were the most common problems with the vaccines that people would tell you?
Well, I mean, we've received all sorts of reports from people, you know, adults, and most often from parents whose children who suffer all sorts of vaccine reactions and injuries. And some of the most common injuries that we've, you know, heard about from people whose stories we've got on our website and that we have on record are neurological injuries. You know, any of the vaccines, the MMR, the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine, can cause encephalopathy, which is inflammation of the brain, which then can lead on to brain injuries. The DPT vaccine, which right now is given, there's five vaccines in that one shot, what most babies get. And, you know, that vaccine can also lead to neurological irritation and encephalopathy and those kinds of injuries. This has been on the record for a long time. In Canada, we don't have a publicly accessible vaccine injury reporting system, but they certainly do in the States. So anybody who would like to look at what kind of injuries happen can find that information quite readily. And lots of money has been compensated in the U.S., and we don't have a compensation system in Canada. So in the States, close to $3 billion has been paid out to families whose children have been injured by vaccines.
Did you say 3 million or 3 billion?
Close to 3 billion with a B as in Bob.
Wow.
So, you know, this is a matter of the public record. That vaccines, if we advise people to read the product monograph. If you're planning on getting a vaccine for yourself or your children, get the product monograph, and that is the manufacturer's disclosure is fully listed, and you'll read all of the ingredients that are in the vaccines too, including things like aluminum, which is a known neurotoxin, which is a common ingredient in many vaccines, and polysorbate 80, which is a chemical vector that can transport these ingredients across the blood-brain barrier into the brain. I'm just talking from what I have read scientifically and offering that information. So you read the product monographs, you'll find the full disclosures of the associated health risks that are known with vaccines.
Etta, we're almost out of time. I'm wondering if you can just tell people a little bit about Vaccine Choice Canada, mm-hmm. what it is, and where they can reach you if mm-hmm. they have any questions.
Yeah, so it's we are vaccinechoicecanada.com. Formerly, we were VRAN, the Vaccination Risk Awareness Network. We publish information from around the world about vaccine risks. We are a public educational, we are a federally registered nonprofit society, and we are an educational society publishing information about vaccine risks. We have a great science page on our website, so anybody who wants to read the scientific studies linking vaccines to health injuries can find a lot of information on our website on that.
So that's Vaccine Choice Canada. Etta West, thanks for coming on the show. It's been great having you.
All right, Dave. Nice to talk to you again.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking with the Sprout Man.